financial literacy, and the human condition. Welcome to Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Raham.
I like that you're comparing this kind of to a video game because it almost makes it fun for kids.
I hope so. I mean, money can be fun. Money can be really fun if you know what to do with it. And especially if you're doing it better than you think your friends are, or better than you think your parents are even. And you're going, hey, my XP bar is chugging, right? Okay, it's great. Hi, it's Francis. I just wanted to take a minute to thank you for watching this video. If you're catching us on YouTube, please help us help others by clicking like, subscribe, and all notifications so you don't miss any videos. And check back for the next video. I think you're going to love it. Thanks again. For more information, you can visit us at hugyourmoney.com.
Welcome to Financial Fitness. I'm Jess Tyler, along with the money doctor, Dr. Francis Raham. Hi.
Hi, Jess. How are you?
I'm good. We had such a fun episode last week with our kitty cat, and you had a special
Pablo
the cat, the pirate. And we talked about some of the younger kids and tips for them with money. Now we're going to go a little bit older.
Yes, I think, you know, August is a good month to do this when the kids are still off school. They might catch this.
Yeah.
They might ask their parents some questions. And so what I'm attempting to do here is to teach kids something about money early on, and to give parents the support they need to have these discussions with their kids, and today with their teens, right? We're talking 11 to 15, so tweeners, teens. Yeah, so 11 to 15 today, basically. I'm just going to give you some tips that will help you to be better with money, because it will really pay off in life.
Okay,
so imagine this, Jess. You're 11 to 15 years old. Let's pick an age. We'll say 13. And you've got some birthday money, and it's kind of burning a hole in your pocket.
Mm-hmm.
You have these new sneakers you really want, and you go to the store, you buy these brand new sneakers. Perfect, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 4 minutes later, in the pit of your stomach, terrible feeling, right? All your birthday money is gone. You just used it all to buy those sneakers. So,
and you saw 12 commercials of other things you want right after that.
Exactly. So here's the twist. Played a little differently, that same cash could have grown. So today I'm going to show you how that money doesn't have to just vanish, and you can grow it so that you can get the things you want now, still save for later, and just learn to manage your money a little bit better so you don't end up in that situation that a lot of people end up in later in life, saying, I wish someone had told me this earlier, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I will say to adults, although I'm saying that this this episode is for 11 to 15, listen up, adults.
It's the same lessons.
So we're going to use three quick stories and a couple of simple games and some moves that you can make this week if you're in that age group to be better about money, to learn about money and actually manage it well, okay? So let's start with story one, the disappearing money trick, okay?
Now,
remember I said listen up, adults, okay? So let's meet Jamie. Jamie's got $50 from mowing lawns.
Okay.
On the way home, Jamie buys a soda, maybe a snack, maybe a small game purchase, some fries with some friends, right?
There's the $50.
That's right. These are all typical things. By the end of the week, what's he got? Zero. Could be a sheet, Jamie, right? So they can't even remember where it went. You have to understand that money only flows two ways, right? I'm going to break this down very simply. Forget that it's anything scary that you might have heard about, or anything bad, or anything greedy. It's just money, okay? It's just got a name, like it's just a fork, or it's just a car. It's just money.
Okay.
But in order to operate money, you have to understand how it works, at least at a basic level. And at the very most basic level, money only flows two ways. It's not a river that only flows downhill, right? It flows in and it flows out.
Okay.
That's it. Okay. Only flows in or out. If you don't control the flow, it's like having a hole in your pocket. First thing I'm going to do is give you a 24-hour challenge. All right, kids.
Okay.
24-hour challenge. Just 24 hours. I want you to track for the next day every penny you spend, every dollar you spend. It doesn't matter if it's on an app, if it's on paper. I don't care how you're tracking it. Just find a way to jot down everything you spend just for one day. Okay, now
Okay.
that assumes that you are in fact spending money. So if you're not going to spend money tomorrow, this doesn't apply to you. Pick a day when you will be spending money.
Well,
Okay.
I'd assume most 11 to 15 year olds are spending mom or dad's money.
I think they are, but they still
Yeah.
can track it,
Yeah.
right?
Okay.
And believe it or not, I mean, at those ages, sometimes they have a little side hustle, which we're going to talk about, and they may have some of their own money that they're spending. It may even be from an allowance, but it's
Okay.
considered their money and they're having to spend it. So track it for just 24 hours, okay? I'll give you an example. Let's say that you're spending $3. If you spend $3 five times within, let's say, a week, right? So let's suppose you track this longer than 24 hours, that's $15, right? If you do that twice a week, it's $30. If you keep doing it for a whole, for 4 weeks, that's 120 bucks. Now we're
This is
getting into
reminding me of getting a
some
coffee
money.
every morning. Yes.
Yeah, now we're getting into some real money. Okay. Story two, the $5 that changed everything. You know that XP bar, that the experience point bar that you have on games? You know how it chugs along? Yeah. Well, someone told me once at age 13 that if you save $5 a week, you'll never be broke. Well, no kidding. I mean, if you never spent anything and you save $5 a week, you'd never be broke. But I didn't really believe it at that time, but I tried it. And
Okay.
1 week you save $5, it seems really tiny, right? But then that XP bar starts chugging along. It starts filling in. $5 becomes 20, right? If you save it for 4 weeks, it's 20. $20 becomes 100. After a year, you could buy something, or maybe even sooner, that you really want, right? Without touching your emergency stash. So by just putting the money somewhere and continuing to add to it, you're already building up money. Okay. We're not even talking about interest yet. We're just talking about savings. There's a phrase called pay yourself first. I always, bristle a little bit about this with adults because they can't always pay themselves first. That's a great idea. But if you're already in the thick of things, you can't just say, well, I'm not going to pay my electric bill. I'm going to pay myself first. But
100%, yeah.
from age 11 to 15, when you don't have to pay the electric bill, guess what habit you can form? You can start forming a habit to pay yourself first. And that's going to keep that XP bar, growing.
Growing.
If you think of saving like an XP bar in a game, every $5 bumps the bar, right? If you stop adding, the XP bar just stays still. So if you want to keep the streak growing and level up, you got to keep adding $5, okay?
I like that you're comparing this kind of to a video game because it almost makes it fun for kids.
I hope so. I mean, money
Yeah.
can be fun. Money can be really fun if you know what to do with it. And
Yeah.
especially if you're doing it better than you think your friends are, or better than you think your parents are, even. And you're going, hey, my XP bar is chugging, right? Okay, it's great. Okay, let's do a rapid fire round before we go to break really quickly. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Earning money without a job. You don't need a real job to earn money.
Okay.
Solve a problem. And you're going to earn money. It's that simple. Somebody can't shovel their sidewalk and you're going to shovel it for them. You can say, I'll shovel your sidewalk for a little money, right? I'm going to give you a bunch of ideas, quick, rapid fire ideas. Kids will write into us with new ideas. But let's say pet sitting, dog walking,
Yeah.
selling your old sneakers, not the really smelly ones, the ones you've outgrown that are still cool. Somebody else wants sneakers have become ridiculously expensive. So
Yeah.
sell your old sneakers. Ask your parents first, obviously. Make custom bracelets or stickers. Tutor younger kids, maybe about money. Hey, guess what I learned that you don't know? Yard work, basic digital art commissions. If you think you're too young, that's exactly why you will surprise adults when you start saying, I want to be ready to help. I want to earn money doing this. And that's always when adults seem to be the most generous, when they're really impressed that some kid has a work ethic and wants to do something. So just pick one idea, any of the things I listed or your own, just one, don't get overwhelmed, and try it just once and see what happens.
Okay, really interesting. Also, question for you. What are your thoughts on money for grades. I know a lot of parents do that, where like if you get A's, you get $5, a B is $3, whatever it might be.
Wow, that's an
Good lesson or bad
interesting question.
lesson?
You know, no one's ever asked me that.
Oh, okay.
Let's see, what do I think about that? I think any kind of an incentive that helps kids learn is worth using. I
Okay.
do worry a little bit about equating performance with money, particularly since as they get older and they go to college, they may want to be an artist or a musician who may not make a ton of money, right? And then they're starting to make a choice about is that what they want to do for a living because it doesn't make that much money or not. So I'm way out there on this, but I think that those kinds of things have long-term effects. It might help for a short-term fix, especially like, hey, you know, you're struggling in this grade. You came home with a B minus, and if you come home with an A next quarter, here's what we're going to do. I would prefer to see it linked to an experience that
Okay.
might cost money. Like, we're going to take a trip, or we're going to go to the movies together, or we're going to have 24 hours of fun times where you don't do chores and I do. We're going to have a yes day. There was a movie with a yes day once that I
Oh,
saw about that.
I hear about that all of the time.
Yeah. I mean, just you could have something fun like that that the kids really want to work toward. I think also it's age driven. You know, to some kids, that money will mean something, you know, really important to them. And to other kids, it will just be a little bit about greed, like, where's my money, right? Where's that $5 you promised me? So, you know, as I always do, I defer to the parents on this. You know your kids better than anybody. Just be careful what you're teaching them and how you're teaching them.
Yeah, maybe instead of it being like $5 for an A, like that's the best, it's just $5 if you improve one grade level. So if you were at a D, you went to a C, or a C to a B.
I
That
was
might
just
be,
thinking that. Yeah. I
yeah.
was, it's an, use it as an incentive, not a bribe. I guess
Right.
that's what I want to say. Yeah.
Okay. All right. We're going to get much to much more of this, but first I want to get your phone number.
Sure, it's 413-773-3333.
And you can also go to hugyourmoney.com. More money tips for, what are we on? 8 to 15? Is that what we said?
11 to 15, and I will
11
say
to 15.
by the time this show airs, they will be able to email Pablo at info,
Oh, I love
Pablo
that.
at Hug Your Money. Yeah, Pablo at hugyourmoney.com.
All
He's
right. Love
working on
that. We'll
his
be
email
back.
right now.
And grumpily. All right, we'll be back with part two of Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Ram, right here on WHMP.
Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor is underwritten by Franklin County Technical School. We build futures. Visit fcts.us or call 413-863-9561.
Welcome back to Financial Fitness. I'm Jess Tyler, along with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Ram. Hi.
Hi, you know, we were just talking about Pablo the pirate cat, who started out in our show for 5 or 6 year olds to 10 year olds, and I just want to say that Pablo has become so beloved already that we are Pablo's going to grow up a little bit, I think, and maybe be Dr. Finwell's sidekick in the television
Oh.
programs. So, and I hear a rumor that in September,
Okay.
Pablo is filling in for you for one
Oh.
time that we're doing a show.
Oh, I love it. All right.
Yeah, so Pablo
Taking
will
over my job over here.
just for a day, Pablo is going to come and fill in for you, and I'm looking forward to having that conversation with Pablo. That'll be
Well,
fun.
he saw a problem and filled it, so I hope you're paying him.
Now, Pablo really likes his treats, you know.
Oh, yeah.
He got paid in pirate booty last time I saw him, actually. He did. Okay.
It.
It's too much fun. So I hope that this is relatable for people, you know, 11 to 15 years old. We're just young people at that age, and we need to know these kinds of things. And it's not taught in the schools usually. So we're trying to do our part here. All right. I told you I'd tell you a few stories. Here's another story.
Okay.
The $200 mistake.
Oh
Okay.
boy.
Alex gets a debit card at age 15. He feels like he's got it down. He's the boss, right, Alex?
Yeah.
And but he doesn't track his spending, which we just talked about. So just a few of those $5 buys, like, hey, it's only $5, might not be a problem. But if you don't track your spending, guess what happens? Overdraft fees.
This is the same thing that happens at 45.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not talking down to people this age because they are smart. They can learn this stuff, and they're basically sponges. You know, it's their job to learn right now. And so when we give them the tools like this, they learn things that they go home and tell their parents, "Hey, you better check your balance before you spend, or you're going to get those overdraft fees."
Right. And you end up getting in a hole with those very quickly.
Yeah, $35 a pop, right?
Yeah, I think that should be illegal.
Well, they're working on that maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
So $35 a pop. If you do this just 3 times in a week, $35 times 3 is $105.
Yeah.
For nothing, Jess. You just
Yeah.
gave it up because you didn't check your balance before you spent the money. If you add to that, you know, $25 in $5 buys, you're at $130,
Yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Oh, only $25 of that bought you anything. The other 105 went to the bank, all because you didn't check your balance before you spent the money, right? You had
I
something.
think that yeah, I do. I think that technology is so great, especially with money. It moves us forward, and being able to wire stuff and doing things instantly is great. But there is something to be said about when you had a checkbook and you had to write down like minus whatever the amount was, so you knew what it was. And I think so few people do that anymore, do they?
It's absolutely true. You know, we all say you can look at your digital balance, right? You can always get it on your phone or whatever. So if you're really going to do that and that works for you, fabulous, do it, right? But
Yeah.
if not, if you understand yourself and you say, I know myself, I'm going to buy this stuff and I'm not going to check my balance, then get one of those paper checkbooks, or I don't care if you keep a log in your phone, however you do it, and
Yeah.
just do it. Physically reduce your balance by the amount of money you spent. Subtract that purchase from your balance, because there is a connection in your brain when you write things down, or even
Yeah.
when you type them in, right? I think it's stronger when you write it, but let's be realistic, right? A lot of people are just going to type it in or talk it in, right? I don't care how you do it, just start forming the habit of checking that balance. So here's a rule. Check your balance before you spend. When? Always. Okay.
Yeah.
I have very wealthy clients who never check their balances because they don't care. There's always enough money there.
Well, the
But
other hard part too is that sometimes places like gas stations will hold it for like 3 days. So you might look at your digital balance and think, oh, this looks all right, but the $75 from gas hasn't come out yet.
what a great point. Spoken like a true parent.
Or somebody that this has happened to more than once.
Love it. I love it. You know, I was saying I have wealthy clients who don't care what they spend because they don't check their balance. They don't care. There's always enough money there. But sooner or later, it happens. They
Yeah.
look at their account and they say, "What? How? Why is my balance this amount?" And then they start
Yeah.
asking their partners. And so it's really easy to do. Just form the habit now while you're young. Always check your balance before you spend money. It takes 2 seconds. It'll save you a lot of money. Companies make billions. Billions with a B of dollars on people who don't pay attention to their money. If you don't manage your money, I promise you someone else will, and you won't like it.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Here's a multiplier challenge. All right. Little quick math for kids. Multiplier challenge. If you have a dollar and you double it every day for 30 days, how big does that dollar get? How much money is that? Any idea, Jess?
No, it's over 100, though, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. If you take a dollar and double it every day, day one, you've got a dollar, day two, you've got
Dollar.
two, day three, you've got four, right?
Four, then eight,
Day,
16.
yep, by
Yeah.
day 10, you have $1,024.
Oh.
By day 20, over a million. And by 30, over $1 billion. You can do the math.
Okay.
It's a fun math to do. Now, in real life, interest isn't that wild, right? But the idea matters. The idea matters. So let me give you a real world multiplier challenge. if you got that first one, like, wow, double a dollar. We used to do it with pennies. Right now you do it with dollars. A real world multiplier challenge. Start with $10 and learn to flip it, right? Learn to double that in some way. Sell candy at an event. Flip a thrift find, right? You go to one of those inexpensive stores and you find something that you know is worth a lot more than it is there, and you buy it and you sell it, right? You could do a small service, like I was talking about, maybe shoveling a sidewalk or walking a neighbor's dog or babysitting or anything. Even with your parents, you could say, you know what, I'm wanting to earn some money. What if I started doing the dishes after dinner? Could that earn me a little money? And see how surprised and willing they are to, you know, it's got to be something that you're not already expected to do. It's got to be something.
I've got to say a fun thing that I did with the kids, and it's a great time of year to do it. Everyone's doing tag sales. So we were going to
Yes.
do a tag sale or go to like a flea market tag sale. And I said,
Yeah.
go through your stuff,
Yep.
figure out what you want to get rid of. You can price it at whatever you want. You come and sit at the table and you can haggle with people over the price. And they made $31 and they were so excited.
Yay. I love it. Okay. And then what do you do with the $31? Three jars. Spend, save, share, right? Okay. All
I've got to
right.
say, one saved it, one bought herself earrings.
Ah, we got a story about that actually. Okay. So just to get through this one pretty quickly, you know, it won't double perfectly every time, but $10 gets to be 20. And the purpose of all of this is if you can learn how to do this, that's a real superpower. If you can learn how to grow money, it's a real superpower. Let's talk about the growth zone for a second. How to make money on your money. Okay. We're talking about interest. There's only two kinds of interest, good interest and bad interest. Okay. Good interest is the stuff you earn from investing. Bad interest is the stuff you have to pay because you borrowed money and waited to pay it back. All right. So, you know, we've just gone over some ideas of good interest if you know, you want to grow your money. So let's say you put $100 away for a year at 5%. You're going to take 100 and multiply it times 1.05. That's how you get the 5% growth. That's going to grow to $105 in a year. 5% on 100, right? Maybe that doesn't seem like much, but by year two, you're now earning money on that $105 because you get to earn interest on interest. We call it compounding interest, okay? So now year two, you're at $110.25. By year five, you're at $127.63. All I'm really saying is if you put $100 somewhere and left it there at 5%, just didn't spend it, just stuck it there and forgot about it, in 5 years, you would have earned $27 on that $100 without doing another thing. And those are real world numbers. You can get 5% on money right now, right? So those are real world numbers. All right. That's all that really means is how you're growing that money over time. I told you I had a story. I don't want to run out of time, but I told you I had a story about two girls, two 14-year-olds, who one spent money and one didn't, right? So I just want to say the ideas we're talking about, they're not flashy. Like that growing interest, it's not flashy, but it's automatic. $127 in 5 years, it's automatic. The point is you set it up once and you just let it go, right? Let time help you. The one thing these kids have going for them, the biggest thing is they're
They're
young.
young.
They're young. And everybody says save when you're young, but we all know when we start to save at 20, it's almost impossible. We're trying to buy houses and cars and pay for our student loans, right? Start saving when you're really young. And then you might have some gap years. I don't want you to, but you might have some gap years when you can't do it. Okay. So here's a big takeaway story. Two 14-year-olds, okay? One spends every dollar, the other buys earrings, right? The other saves some money, right? So the other splits it, spends some on some fun stuff, saves some, and shares a little, right? Fast forward 5 years. One has memories of stuff they can barely remember what they bought, right? And the other has some cash saved from choosing needs versus wants, right? And some great memories of things that they bought thoughtfully. Maybe they saved up a little and they bought a bike or they bought, you know, something that was important to them. And that really mattered rather than some French fries and a Coke, right? And they have the freedom to do more. So they ha still have great memories of things they've bought because they've apportion their money between save, spend, and share. They have the memories of things they bought. They have some money for the future, like which buys them some freedom, like starting a side hustle or a little business or something, or planning for a bigger goal. So in the end, I just want to make this major point, okay? Money isn't just about buying things. Let me repeat that, kids. Money isn't just about buying things. What it's about is buying freedom. Okay, that's what money does for you. Some of it comes in the form of things, you know, a car, a house, whatever it makes you feel like you're accomplishing things. And some of it comes in the form of being able to save for the future and share when you need to or want to. And that requires the freedom to do so. If you always spend every dollar you have, you are spending your freedom.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, the earlier you learn this stuff, the easier your financial life is going to be. And for the 11 to 15-year-olds or even other age groups that are listening to this show, I'm very proud of you because you are starting right now. And that's the key. Just start. Just do one thing, but start building some smart money habits.
Oh, I
Pablo will
love
be
that.
proud of you.
All right, let's get your phone number because I'm sure people will have questions.
Of course, it's 413-773-3333.
And can you share too where people can find the Pablo series?
Yeah, they can find Pablo the Pirate Cat on YouTube, on Amazon, on Apple, anywhere you get your podcast. But the YouTube is probably the easiest. Just go type in Pablo the Pirate Cat. You're probably going to get him, or Hug Your Money. We have a YouTube channel you can find him at. And yeah, Pablo's getting an email. Pablo at hugyourmoney.com. For kids this age, if you want to send an email with questions, you can send it to Pablo at hugyourmoney.com.
And parents, if you're listening now, check it out with your kid because they're going to love it. Pablo is really cute to look at. And he's got his little pirate's chest there with his money and a very grumpy expression, but he's a really cute cat.
His
I really
expression
like him a lot.
changes. Yeah,
It does.
yeah.
All right, hugyourmoney.com. Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Jess. My pleasure. Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor is underwritten by
Hug Your Money. It's where you belong. Your future's waiting, steady and strong. Dignity shines in the smallest dream. Permission granted to chase your dream.
Will you help us spread the word about financial fitness? Please like, subscribe, and choose all. Thank you.
Financial literacy and the human condition. Welcome to Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Raham.
Oh, I love it.
Okay, we're doing a kids show today. Could you tell?
Oh, that's cute.
How
That
old
is
are your kids?
cute.
Remind me of your kids' ages again.
7 and 6, Atlee and Madden.
Perfect. That's what I thought. This is for 6 to 10-year-olds.
Okay, perfect. Talking money.
But I was inspired by a 7-year-old over the weekend, so we have a good story. Hi, it's Frances. I just wanted to take a minute to thank you for watching this video. If you're catching us on YouTube, please help us help others by clicking like, subscribe, and all notifications so you don't miss any videos. And check back for the next video. I think you're going to love it. Thanks again. For more information, you can visit us at hugyourmoney.com.
Welcome to Financial Fitness. I'm Jess Tyler, along with the money doctor, Dr. Francis Ram. Hi.
Hi, Jess. How are you?
I'm good. And I see the kitty cat in the background with the pirate hat on.
Now, yeah, I know we're on radio, but I am in Pablo's Pirate Cove. Pablo is a pirate cat. And
okay.
Pablo is with us today to help talk to kids that are 6 to 10 years old about money.
Okay.
Check out
That'll...
Pablo. Isn't he cool?
Pablo is really cute. And I thought for a minute it was your cat, and then I realized it's not.
No, Pablo is one of Lola's friends.
Okay.
Lola's not that great with money. You know, she kind of hangs around the office and listens.
Lola looks
to
a little
say.
Spoiled, I'm just going to say.
She is a bit spoiled, and she likes her treats, boy. I'll tell you what, when she
I'm
wants
sure.
a treat, she does not care what it costs.
All right. So from the age of about, from where to where would you say is when you start talking to kids about money?
Well, this show is about kids from 6 to 10.
Okay.
I think that's a good age to start talking to them about money. They haven't learned any terrible habits yet, I hope. They're watching their parents very closely and other adults around them. And
Yeah.
they pick things up by osmosis, right? They pick things up because they see other people do it, and that's what they emulate. So, yeah, one of the things I hear from parents most often is, my parents never taught me about money, and I want something different, something better
Yeah.
for my kids.
Well, my Atlee is 7 and Madden is 6, and as I like to call them, my little broke besties.
Okay. Now, why are they always broke? Do they get an allowance or what?
Yeah, but they're the broke besties because they always have a great idea for a great adventure that
Oh.
they're not paying for. So, you know.
So they kind of help you.
Well, you know, all kids think their parents
money.
Are rich. They all think their parents are rich. So it's interesting, yeah, because you want them to still have fun, but then also, like you're going to say, I'm sure, know where that money's coming from and how much it costs and all that kind of stuff.
Yes. So, you know, doing this on radio is different than when people see a YouTube video. So let me just say that we will talk about this storybook with Pablo the Pirate Cat that we've made that helps kids from 6 to 10 years old learn about money and what money is and how to save it and spend it and share it wisely, whether they get an allowance or they don't, you know, things that kids get right away. Simple concepts about interest, like using jelly beans. When your jelly beans grow in a jar, that's like having interest. So we're introducing grown-up topics, but we're doing it with kids that are very open to these ideas. So, you know, as a grown-up, we're like, no, protect my kid from money. Don't tell my kid about money. Money is evil. Money is difficult, blah, blah, blah. No, they need to learn how to do this. And believe it or not, they're going to end up teaching you about the magic of money and the magic of interest. So, yes, I think we do hit on topics of all of the things that you've talked about, but especially why isn't there just always more money? Why do parents run out of money? How is money an infinite thing? And so we do talk about that, and we teach them, even in this little half hour storybook thing, we teach them how to decide. We teach them about the word budget, believe it or not, very, very briefly. Like, you know, smart pirates like Pablo make a spending plan before they spend all their gold. We call that a budget. Okay.
And this is the way to go. Like, you brought up jelly beans and then the cat. Like, if you make it fun, they'll want to learn.
Yes. Yeah, it has to be fun. And I think by the time we get to be adults, we're convinced through a number of things, you know, our experiences, what other people have taught us, all of that, to be afraid of things. And one of them is money. And empowering children to not be afraid of money is really one of the best things you could do for them. But a lot of things try to teach money by teaching them with math. And I will tell you, in this entire storybook, there's one math example, and it's very brief. It's a pirate's map. And they start at age 7 and they end at age 18. And along the way, they see some things like if you saved 10 jelly beans or $10 and never did anything else, just went to sleep, but put it in a place where it could grow interest, another term which we introduce and explain. In a month, you'd have $11. Year, you might have $31. And after 10 years, guess how much you would have? And they get to guess, but guess how much it is after 10 years? If you put $10 in a jar or in a bank and saved it with interest and never added anything to it again, how much do you think you'd have after 10 years?
Maybe $100.
How about more than $2 million?
What?
That's the power of compound interest. Okay.
That can't be right. Wait a minute. Say that
At,
again. If you put
no,
how
that, now
much?
you have to understand it's at 10% per month. Okay. These are ridiculous interest rates, but we use them
Got
with
it.
children. We use them with children because we don't want to explain compound interest at 10% a year. They need to see something magical happen to encourage to save. Okay. So I was inspired to do this. I must say, I was inspired to do this show. And I actually started building it while my boyfriend's family was here. He has a wonderful granddaughter named Bianca, who is 7. And she saw that I was building a video for adults. And she said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Do you really want to know?" Yeah, she wanted to know. Kids are so sophisticated these days about technology. So I started showing her the video I was building, and she looked at me and said, "Francis, that's like you're building a movie." And I said, "That's exactly what I'm doing." She grabbed my computer, literally grabbed my computer, put it on her lap and wanted to ask an AI agent that I was using for some of this, excuse me, some of the stuff. She said she wanted to ask it something. And I said, "Well, what do you want to ask it?" And so she started typing it in. She said, "Do you do this for kids?" And that's where the idea was born. And then so we started. I had already created the treasure map. I had already created Pablo the pirate. So you can see his little chest of gold here. Looking,
Where is everybody going to be able to find this, by the way?
they'll be able to find it everywhere. I'm going to put it up
Okay.
for free, my favorite price, right? So that we can start teaching these kids. So YouTube,
Okay.
Amazon, Apple. Anywhere you get your podcasts, if you can get a video podcast, you're going to see this, and we'll post it. And all public access stations, I think we're on
Okay.
more than 100 stations now. So if you don't see it on your public access station, call your local public access or community television station and say, "I know this person, the Money Doctor. She's doing these great shows. You got to get some on your station." And there's one this week about kids with money.
Okay.
So tell me some questions or some things you want to know about teaching your kids with money.
Well, I would just say the thing that they are most confused by, I think this is all kids. If you're showing them actual hard money, they'll know, like, okay, when that money's gone, you've spent it, it's gone. But they don't necessarily understand a credit card or a debit card.
That's
You
right.
know, they just think that they're not understanding you're depositing your check into the bank and using your own cash because a card looks like just this fantasy thing that you can use for whatever.
That's a great point, really great point. And because we're tech forward here at Hug Your Money, right? We attack that in this video. So we talk about where did money come from? At one point, people were trading mushy bananas and chickens or whatever for whatever they wanted, right? There was a barter system. And then we needed a way to trade more fairly. Because what if you're trying to trade your mushy banana for somebody's toy car? And they don't want your mushy banana. They can't use your mushy banana because it's going to expire. It's gonna get old and nobody wants it after them. So what do you do? So we develop this system of money. Then we go from that to, there was a day when people used everything to trade money, salt, cocoa beans, whatever, jelly beans, right? Today, we mostly use coins, paper money, and plastic and digital. So we show coins, paper money, plastic. We don't show a credit card, but we, plastic, it represents money, and a phone with a glowing dollar sign on it, right? And we ask the kids, what do you see used most often for money? How do people earn money? What do they, how does money happen? And so we do go into most people earn money by some sort of a job. They go to work and they get paid for that. Kids can even earn money by doing some things like raking leaves or walking the neighbor's dog, or some kids get an allowance, right? So we talk about how money really happens. why there's not an infinite amount of it. So one of this pages or slides says, you know, why isn't there always more money? And it talks about you have to make choices. You only get so much money per week if you work, or you only get so much money in your allowance. So you have to make choices. So then we talk about budgeting and what budgeting means, and is are you dividing it between your three jars? So we can talk more about that too. But yeah, it's really fun to get into the mind of a 7-year-old or an 8-year-old and see what they perceive money, you know, as doing. One of the slides is, you know, what do we need money for? And we talk about you need it to do things that you need, like buy clothes and food, or maybe help someone. There's a lot of kindness in this video about sharing.
Oh, I've got to tell you a little story on that topic, just
Oh,
really quick. It
great.
just happened this weekend. I was with my little Madden, and we were walking. We were walking along the in one of those inside malls, and there was someone sitting there playing music, and
Yes.
had a sign out said, "Please leave money for food." So I gave him $1 to go put in the jar, and then we get a little bit past it, and he looks at me and he says, "That made my heart feel good."
Oh.
I was like, "Oh."
As a matter of fact, that's what one of our slides says. It says, when you give, you know, and it talks about where can you give? You can donate to, you know, all these places, right? You had a place in need, a friend, you know, something like that. And it says it doesn't have to be big. A little bit goes a long way. It's about deciding what to share. We even talk to them about how to decide how much should go in your spend jar, your save jar, and your share jar. And it's up to them to make the decision. So we're starting to teach them about balance, but we give them suggestions, you know, things like, well, one way to save, right? One way to divide your money might be to save 50%, or to save 50 cents for every dollar. I mean, to spend it, excuse me, to spend 50 cents on every dollar. Maybe you save 40 cents and maybe you share 10 cents, right? And then we talk to them about what are you saving for? Is it something big? Is it something small? So, yeah, I would love to hear kids' stories. If anybody wants to write in to me with a wonderful child story about money, especially if it's funny, oh my gosh, kids really do say the darndest things about money. But it just cracks me up. And this little girl just saying, "Do you do this with kids?" I mean, she did not care that when I was showing her this adult video, you know, it's about real money stuff, right? And she didn't care about the concept. She just cared that I was teaching somebody about something she wanted to learn about and could it be adapted for children. And she was off to the races, you know. Then
Oh,
she
I
did
love
all
that.
kinds of riddles. They tell us a riddle about money and do the, tell us a joke about money. About 3 hours later, her grandfather was saying, you know, you've done this to her. You know, she'd tell us another riddle. But yeah, kids are just so open to this stuff. And I reiterate, I think parents do want to shield their kids from it, but it's because you don't want them to experience the scariness of it, right? I mean, we even introduce debt. I mean, really, really briefly, like a little tiny bit about how interest works, right? It can work for you or against you. So
Right.
you start to learn, hey, interest is a magical thing, you know, but what am I going to do with it? Am I going to earn it or am I going to pay it? And what does that mean? What are you sacrificing? Do you get
All
to
right.
jelly beans or not?
We'll talk more about this. This is such a great concept and idea. First, let me get your phone number. I
Sure,
know the
it's
kitty cat.
413-413-773-3333.
Or you can go to hugyourmoney.com. We'll be back with part two of Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Ram, next on WHMP.
Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor is underwritten by Franklin County Technical School. We build futures. Visit fcts.us or call 413-863-9561.
Welcome back to Financial Fitness. I'm Jess Tyler, along with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Ram. Hi.
And Pablo, the pirate cat.
You got Pablo's Pirate Cove, which is where you are broadcasting from today, which I love. And we're talking about talking to kids about money.
We are. And just for those people listening to us on radio, Pablo is a gray and white cat. Pablo is actually Bianca's real cat in real life. And he's got this great little pirate hat on. And he's sitting in this wonderful dark cave with an open tunnel at the end. There's a lot of metaphor here. He's got
And a
a
box of treasure next to him.
box of treasure, gold coins in a treasure chest, and the other typical props for a pirate cat cave cove, right? Like a spyglass, etc. So Pablo is a very smart cat, and you can tell by looking at Pablo that he likes his treats.
He is a little furry, we'll say. Fluffy.
Pablo is a little fluffy, and he's got a little attitude. And the attitude is because he's guarding his gold. So
Yes.
actually, he's guarding your gold, right? So Pablo is here to help tell this story and teach the lessons that a 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old kid and some 6-year-olds, your 6-year-old's probably going to get this right away, want to pick up about money and how they can be empowered by it and use it for good. Because that's what our message is about at Hug. I'm sure they can find videos where they use money for other things, but for us, I want them to learn how to use it for their own benefit, to care for people they love, and to share with others when it's affordable for them, not at their peril, but when it's good for them. And as you brought up, your Maddie said, was it Maddie that said it?
Madden, yeah.
It was Madden, yeah. Your Madden said, when they gave a dollar to somebody who was playing music and had a jar open or whatever that said, please donate. After they gave the dollar, I thought you might say, and then he said, oh, I wish I still had that dollar to spend on a toy or something. But no, Madden said, that made my heart feel good.
Yeah. He's really sweet. He said when he's an adult, he's going to come back and give him 100 if he's still sitting there. I was like, okay, I
Oh
don't know if
my
he'll still
goodness.
be there, but he's just really sweet like that.
That's really sweet. And that is a perfect kid moment.
Yeah.
Guess how much you would have to save to get $100, at a certain time. And that those are easy figures and kids get them. And that's why, we have this treasure map in there. We allude to it every now and then. But that's what I was saying is, trying to get a kid that's 7 years old to understand why they should save some money doesn't really mean anything to them.
Right.
It's just money. It's there to get what you want. It's a form of exchange. But when you start to equate that with, do you want to buy an ice cream? Are you going to save up for a bicycle? Do you want to maybe save up for something even bigger, a camping trip or something like that? And we start to teach them that budgeting is really just about, or saving is really just about patience. And you get to practice it. And every time you get a dollar, it's another chance to practice. Right?
Now, where do you start though with like, do you simplify it a lot? 'Cause I'm just thinking about like, I'd say you're breaking down for them that here's what my paycheck is and we have to pay this much towards the mortgage or this much towards groceries. And so I get that you're being honest in that way, but it's just interesting to me because growing up, if you had asked me what my parents' salaries were, I would have had no idea.
Yeah, and these kids won't either. And we
Okay.
talk to them about things like mortgages and rent and groceries. And we do that to try to explain ourselves to them. This is why mom or dad is saying no, because we have these important things, food, shelter, clothing, right?
Right.
But they're still looking
Necessities.
at, yeah, they're still looking at us going, right? I mean, remember when you were 7, did you know what a
Yeah.
mortgage was?
Right.
Oh, you barely remember to clean your room for your allowance money if you got any, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's good that you have these conversations and that they hear these words and they start to log them. But you might as well be telling them, this planet is Mars and this planet is Jupiter. It's still very abstract. But when you start to equate them with things that they recognize, we have to pay the mortgage. That's like when we have to pay for gas in the car to take you to soccer, right? Make it something smaller that they can understand. Like you can't get to soccer if we don't stop and put gas in the car. And that requires some money. But a mortgage is way too abstract, right?
Yeah,
A
okay.
loan is way too abstract. When you talk about sharing, we reduce it to jelly beans. We talk about interest. If you had 10 jelly beans in a jar, sealed it up tight, went to sleep, and tomorrow you looked and there's 11, that's how interest works. And you just let them guess. It doesn't have to be the right answer. I don't
Right.
care what they say.
Is
I
that
just,
just because you're getting them curious about money?
yeah, you just
Yeah.
want them to be enthusiastic and warm about it. You don't want them to be saying, well, I don't want to do this anymore because I got the answer wrong.
Yeah.
So many adults tell me that money is about math. They're not good with money. They're not good with math. There is a slide in here that says, what if I'm not good with money? Shows a, Pablo and a child with appropriate expressions. And it says, you don't have to be a math whiz, to do this. Money is about, learning how to exchange things, right? For instance, we use these three jars right from the beginning. I think the first two slides are a pirate map, and with Pablo guarding the gold. And I think either the second or third slide introduces three jars: spend, save, share. And the
Oh,
whole
this is
point is,
so, it's such a good idea. It's so fun.
it's fun. I think I had fun doing it. I mean, look at me. I'm in Pablo's pirate cove with special lighting so that I look like I'm in Pablo's pirate cove, right?
And
So
Pablo really does look like he has an attitude, by the
Pablo's got it too. I'll tell you what, we
Yeah.
searched long and hard for Pablo. He's
Yeah.
actually an AI cat, but isn't he perfect?
Yeah, I'm a fan of Pablo.
Yeah, Pablo's perfect. So yeah, when you do that sort of thing and kids start to get it, okay, you could say to your kid, okay, here's a jar of jelly beans. We're not going to talk about money. We're going to talk about jelly beans, right? Here's your jar of jelly beans. Here's three more empty jars. Save, spend, share. Put some jelly beans in the save jar. That's like eating them, right? You're going to, I mean, if, sorry, in the spend jar. That's like
Spender, yeah.
eating them, right? You're going to spend them. They're going to be gone. Are you going to wish you had them tomorrow? That's a way to start making a spending decision, right? If you're going to wish that you had them tomorrow, maybe you ought to save some of those tomorrow. And so then they can take some of the jelly beans out of the spend jar and put them in the save jar. Oh, look, so now you have these you can spend today, and tomorrow you'll still have these because you planned ahead. You did the start of a budget, right?
Now, what if you have a kid that says, "Nope, I'm good with it." Like they use those three jelly beans to buy three Matchbox cars, and they're like perfectly happy with that. So you're not getting the save idea really through to them.
That's right. Well, it takes practice, and it takes, no, you have to be willing to teach the lesson. You cannot expect a child to learn about money and loss if you're just going to continue to fill the void. If they buy three cars with their jelly beans today, now this isn't long term. You can't do this a month later, go, hey, last month you bought three cars with those things, right? It's got to be quick, right? Buy those three cars today. Yeah, okay, I'm going to buy them. Maybe when as soon as you get home, you look at the spend jar and it's empty and the other is empty. What's going to happen if tomorrow you want to buy another car? Oh, you're going to have to wait for
Until
your
you save
allowance,
more.
or you're going to have to earn some more money, right? You're going to have to do something to refill that jar. The jars themselves, just, jelly jars, whatever, mason jars, the jars themselves are really great because they're clear. You can put anything in them. You can let the kids choose. What do you want to save? What do you want to spend? What do you want to use for these tools? I don't care if they're stones from outside. Let them choose, right? But it's the idea of dividing them. And so once you have some, maybe you get the kid to the point where, okay, I have some for spending today, and I've taken some of those beans out and I've put them in the next jar for tomorrow. And then you could say, don't you have a friend, that you see at school or that you like to play with? Yeah. Wouldn't you like to share some of these jelly beans with them? Yeah. Oh, well, which jar are you going to take them from? Are you going to spend less? Are you going to save less? You're going to take some from each? You don't care what the answer is. All you care about is that they take the beans out of one jar and divide them into other jars in any percentage they like. They have to do it. They have to see the results in order for them to learn. So positive reinforcement all the way, unless you're trying to teach a lesson like yesterday you spent those. Remember we talked about this? So now you don't have any more beans until the next time you get paid from doing a chore or getting an allowance or whatever. And they have to learn it. You have to do this at least once, folks, at least once and probably repeatedly. You have to be able to hold your ground. They are not going to die if they can't buy another toy car tomorrow. I don't care how much they cajole and kick and scream, right? You're teaching a life lesson here, just like any other life lesson. And if you can do it kindly, gently, and consistently, your kids will grow up to start telling you by the age of probably 9 what you should do with your money.
know they're so advanced now, right? Like just the fact that she knew to go on ChatGPT and how to do that is crazy.
Yeah, she didn't know ChatGPT, but she saw me working in an AI agent and she saw that I was building a movie. And she said, at that stage, she didn't know anything about it. And she just said, do you do this for kids too?
Mm-hmm.
What was really charming is along the way, like I was right with her building this, right? I didn't turn her right. with an AI. Somewhere in here, she made the shift, the mental shift from talking to a computer to talking to Pablo, who is from North Carolina.
Okay.
She started asking him questions like, Pablo, where did you put the hat? And Pablo, you know, where did you hide the jars? I bet to this day, she's home still talking about those jars because Pablo told her where they were hidden.
Mm.
And one of them, she got hints, right? And one of them was someplace cold near the peas.
Okay.
So she was telling her parents, when we go home, I have to look in the freezer near the peas,
mm-hmm.
that spend jar, you know, or that save jar. It's a really important lesson to teach kids. They will have fun with it. They will want to do more and more of it. I mean, I had to sort of back her off like, okay, no more right now. Pablo's tired, right. You know?
Yes, Pablo needs a little nap and a fancy feast.
Yeah, that's right. But, you know, Pablo does things like buy treats and guard goal and curl up on your lap and tell you when you're doing great. And yeah.
And hopefully share a little with Lola, right?
And I think he would share a little with Lola. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Once again, where can we get this?
Gosh, are we there already?
Yeah,
you can get it at any place you get your podcast. By the time this show airs, I think it will be live. But in case you don't find it there, you can email us, at info@hugyourmoney.com. And we'll send you a link to it. Completely free, no advertisements, no, hey, but this is great, go to the next level. This is me helping you teach your kids about money.
Oh, that's great. All right, you can go to hugyourmoney.com, but of course I need your phone number as well.
Of course, it's 413-773-3333.
Oh, so fun. All right. We'll be back next week with another edition of Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Ram on WHMP. Thank you.
Thank you, Jess. Underwritten by Hug Your Money. Hug Your Money, where financial wellness gets personal. Will you help us spread the word about financial fitness? Please like, subscribe, and choose all. Thank you.